Blog Talk Radio.
From the newly crowned NBA champs in San Fran to the flooding ship from Houston, stripped from Houston to Dallas, Fort Worth, and broadcasting from a small, snug, waterproof, monsoon-resistant single-wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell, good morning, 6:06. And we've got a story on the NBA champs, of course. LeBron James has been dethroned. And I don't think that it was his finest hour by any stretch of the imagination, although he had an impossible task. Whether it was winnable at all, I have no idea, but they didn't win it, and they looked absolutely just totally exhausted. They'd lost two of their top three scorers. They gave it a shot. They caught up in the game, and then they immediately gave away the game, the lead. When I saw that, it's like they didn't even want to win. They started throwing the ball away. And LeBron James was not given the MVP, although he arguably had some of the greatest numbers ever seen in a final. So I think his attitude got the best of him. All right, I've got some news for you on the tropical depression that has swept into Texas on this 17th day of June, and it's brought a lot more rain. Now, I haven't heard as much a complaint about flooding and that type of thing, so let me play you a few clips here, though. And Tropical Depression Bill. And here's a major flooding potential for Texas, Oklahoma, Ozarks. Showing the coast absolutely decimated. That is just a clip showing that the water and wind came in and just decimated the coast in some areas. And here's regarding Tulsa Lakes, rivers high from recent rain. And these are all from the Weather Channel, by the way. And they're talking about multiple regions at risk. And this is as the storm passes through Texas, it goes up over Houston, Austin, towards Dallas, and then up and in veering to the right. You've got a lot of areas, a lot of states that are at risk for flash flooding and that type of thing. So that is coming up. Here is a little bit on Dallas. Thank you. And that is, I guess, goes without saying, but it's still kind of unbelievable. Some of the rainfall totals in the last 3 weeks are between 15 and 20 inches. It's just amazing. And here is talking about the flood risks now ahead in the South Midwest and the plains on towards the East Coast. All right, so pretty unbelievable transition in Texas from extreme severe drought and extreme drought. Just 2 years ago, I think, Texas was in extreme drought, the highest level of drought, and now the ground is soaked and the lakes are full to the brim in these high population areas. And also certainly up the panhandle where I've seen all the rain from the high populations areas over to the right from San Antonio all the way over to the border. The ground is soaked and the lakes are full and the rivers are coming over their banks. So you can't say that Texas, after two giant storms, you can no longer say that Texas is in a drought period. Kind of amazing. All right, so we'll come back and discuss a little bit the NBA championship, the final game. But I thought it was pretty it's a pretty good championship. It went back and forth from one way to the other, and I don't know, you can't, you know, I would fault LeBron. Maybe he's just trying to build himself up. You know, I mean, sometimes you're in a real bad situation and you're just trying to do a little self-talk, you know, a little bit of self-talk and try to kind of build yourself up. And he's telling everybody he's the best, but didn't help him win a championship. Although they lost major players from their team, and you can't really point a finger at him. Okay, so here is our continuing dedication to Caitlyn Jenner, Aretha Franklin, "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman." Kelly O'Connor, 615. We'll be right back. This is AM Las Cruces, 1450 on KOBE. This is the 17th of June, 2015, and we've got a new NBA champion out there, and they've got to be proud, very much so. But first, I had meant to tell you, we've got a hurricane on the west side of Mexico, that toward the Baja Peninsula area. That was not even mentioned in any of the newscasts, but I did find a clip on it. And it could affect us more than this other hurricane or this rod for you. All right, so it doesn't look like it's going to be too heavy of a assault on the land. But all right, so there was the NBA championship, Cleveland Cavaliers against the Golden State Warriors, and Golden State won the first game, and then I believe that the Cavaliers took the next two, and then the Golden State won the next three. So back and forth. King James, an incredible series. You can't fault him. But anyway, here's from ESPN. Well, I mean, I think it's better that the MVP be on the team that wins, I guess. Well, I don't know. I mean, he said LeBron James, I think, killed his own MVP talk by bragging that he was the best player in the world. And there was an article that was posted, I think, yesterday that I read along the lines of that said that basically LeBron James is the best player in the world, but he's not a champion. And it was kind of hard hitting, you know. So anyway, well done to Golden State. It is good to share the wealth with championships. It's not a good thing if just a few cities control them, dynasties and everything. I think it's good for the fan base to have your championships out there. All right. So a continuing dedication to Bruce Jenner. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces Fort on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. Well, we've got some headlines for you. They're cutting off water to wealthy towns in California. There was an interesting article that I read yesterday that talked about the fact that California has the means to end the drought under its right beneath its feet. And see if I can find it in my list of stories here. But the upshot was that there was a town, and I think it was something like Palm Springs. Anyway, they had, oh, here we go. All right. It's from a site called Fast Coexist. And when I started reading this article, I was immediately struck by the fact that we could apply this here just as easily as these guys. California is sitting on the solution to its drought problems is the name of the article. And what they did is, okay, so here we go. About a decade ago, they decided to trap rainwater. Here goes. About a decade ago, the blue-collar community of Sun Valley in Los Angeles County was faced with flooding that impacted homes and businesses during winter rains. The county had a plan for a $47 million storm sewer system to drain the floodwaters from the streets and dump it in the Pacific Ocean. Instead, the city planners decided to take what they called a dilapidated city park and remodel it with cisterns below it. And during heavy rains, the water would flood in and fill the cisterns, a technology that they say goes back to ancient Rome. And they captured 8,000 acre feet of water each year. That's about twice as much as the entire city consumed. And not only solved the flooding problem, created a source of fresh water for thousands of residents. And so according to the National Weather Service, the average annual rainfall in Los Angeles for the past 100 years is about 14 inches, more than enough to serve the needs of the region and then some. And then the decade from 2000 to 2012 were wet years of nearly 38 inches of rain and a few dry ones of less than four. So anyway, what if we did that here? Now, we've got, you know, we've already got the flood plan in place. We've got this kind of dam that's set up across from off of Loma and across from Marshalls and Ross over there. And we've got various areas in the town that are kind of like little spillway areas. Why not take all of those and drain those into cisterns? Why not have all of the cities, sewer, or not sewer, but these water spillways? Why not do the same thing? I mean, I don't understand why we couldn't do that. I mean, sometimes when we get rain here, like the other day, we get a ton of rain. So anyway, I just want to bring that up. And you know, there's a lot of people that love to talk about infrastructure and how the government creates an economy and, how good it is to support public projects. What if we put those sentiments into place across the West, across all of the areas where there was a lack of water and trapped all the water that's given to us. I mean, realistically speaking, maybe we're just misusing our resources. Maybe we don't really have a drought the way that people are looking at it out in California, you know? All right. Few more headlines for you. The Greeks are panicking. Absolutely. There's this very weird showdown that's going on, and I've got a clip for you in a minute, but there's a weird showdown that's going on in Greece in which they've elected this this guy that is really he likes to argue and fight and everything, but it's maybe the wrong guy at the wrong time. Their prime minister has played a lot of brinksmanship over this this situation with the default, and it's just turned into a bad situation and something terrible. Now they're hoarding their money and their cash. People are going to the bank and emptying out their deposits and just putting it basically under their mattress. There's a strong sense, there's a strong belief that there's going to be a default, that Greece is going to be kicked out of the EU, and they're not going to have anywhere to turn. And so there's a lot of anger towards the Germans, which are the bankers for a lot of these smaller countries. And so it'll be interesting to see what. But here's a question. If Greece leaves, are they stronger or are they weaker, the EU? That will be an interesting question to answer that I guess only time will tell. Let me put a little bit of this clip here for you. The problem with Greece is that it is not, according to the EU standards, it has never lived up to its obligations. And when you come into the EU, you, in exchange for agreeing to follow the standards, which includes a certain amount of debt ratio. We do have a phone call here. There's a certain debt ratio, and you can't have, you just have to have fiscal discipline. They've never followed the plan. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty Riley.
Good morning, Patty. What's up?
Well, I have a response to this Greece. They're doing the right thing by defaulting. They'll probably join the BRICS. And we should do the same thing.
Patty, wait a minute. They're joining the BRICS and how?
The BRICS. The BRICS,
okay.
B-R-I-C-S.
Okay, you sounded like you said the BRICS, so go
ahead. Yeah, and I really think that we should default on ours. We can't pay this money back. It's too far gone.
Patty, Greece doesn't want to default. I mean, I think that when you say they're doing the right thing,
Well, they've been sitting in a recession for quite some time. This is not new, and they can't pay back that money. And I do believe they're going to join on with the BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South America or something.
They might aspire to join that group, but I mean, it's a complete disaster for Greece. And I mean, the idea that they're going to default and then be fine is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they're going to have a run on the banks, and the entire fiscal system is going to basically collapse if they go in that direction. There is no more, there's no more cash flow to keep them going.
No, there isn't. There's not any more for us, really. I mean, we could keep printing cash and printing and printing, and it could just go into endless infinity. But does that make sense?
No, I mean, but we're fortunately or not in the group of countries that are too big to fail.
Yes, we are. We've already failed. And another thing, you might want to take a look at Argentina. Nobody's ever brought it up, but they had a huge financial collapse back in 2000, and they've never recovered. And they were pretty much, I would consider them a multicultural society, kind of like us. They were pretty wealthy, and they shut the banks down. Just one day, nobody could get their money out. And I don't think they've ever really recovered, because I watched a video about that the other day, and they're not doing real well either.
Classic mismanagement.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of that here too, so we can't sustain this debt. It's got to go.
$18 trillion, and they say it's treading water.
Okay, but it's only $18 trillion. There's what, the debt and the deficit.
Yeah, but they have this very strange announcement that for 90 days the debt has not changed, which I don't understand. I have no idea what that means. That's impossible.
Well, I think we need to read up on the BRICS, and LaRouche Pact does have a lot of information on that, and you all need to really get in with that, because I think that's where we're going, and that's for the entire global community, not just us. We have to do it. We cannot sustain this debt any longer. We don't have jobs here.
In 2040, our debt level will be 107%. Of the economy to pay the debt back, so it is impossible. So
yeah, and we never really did recover from the two world wars. We never really did come out of the depression the first time. It's just been
Patty. Of course we did. Don't
tell.
No,
I don't think so.
From we rebuilt. Patty, hey, don't talk over me. Mm-hmm. We rebuilt the entire continent of Europe. So, and also Japan. So I mean. You gotta,
that could be some of our debt problem, too.
The debt doesn't go back to World War II, but anyway, Patty, was there anything else?
No, look at Argentina. It's an interesting story.
Don't cry for me, Patty. Thank you very much. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here. Patty, you're bringing up some good points, but America is not going to default out of its debt. What we're probably going to do, and what I assume the president wanted to do, which he had already mentioned before, was to inflate our way out of debt, but that is an extraordinarily painful and expensive way to do it. You know, I've heard many people say they're trying to get rid of the middle class, and I've got a friend that's living in New York. Middle class people can't make it. Poor people can't make it in New York, no matter what. Only the rich are making it in New York, and I'm just wondering if that's not spreading across the United States. The cost of renting or buying a place in San Francisco is just extraordinary. I mean, how are the poor going to make it? And it's bad monetary policy that is driving this incredible amount of inflation that is really not even talked about very much. But the price of, if you compare this with the 1970s, it's just unbelievable. Anyway, continuing dedication to Bruce Jenner here. 6:43. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. Be right back. It's Kelly here. Now, I'm thinking about what Patty brought up, which was what's been happening is the rampant, I mean, the incredible printing of money to the point where we're not even really printing a lot of this money. We're creating currency, electronic currency in the central bank, and that's being loaned to various other entities, other banks, regional banks. And anyway, I'm looking at Zimbabwe, and the rate of inflation in Zimbabwe 6 years ago was 11.2 million percent. I've got in my office a $100 trillion Zimbabwe note, and it is an absolute, just a complete disaster what they've done over there. And what they call hyperinflation is only related to the rampant printing of currency. That's the only thing in history that has ever created what they call hyperinflation. It happened in Germany after the war. It has happened in South America, speaking of which, and it in theory could happen here. But here's a little clip on in Zimbabwe's currency, and this is from 2 days ago. Well, I mean, that is, I'm not saying that could happen here, but we've got all of the factors that are necessary for hyperinflation. And if we can, would just say for the sake of the argument, if we continued what is called QE, quantitative easing, is where the government does massive lending of money to the private sector, then at some point it is going to catch fire. There will be hyperinflation. So we've got to stop it. The only thing that is really good for the situation that we're in right now is that we are the world's banker. So when Timothy Geithner wanted to get the world off the dollar, that was a complete suicide mission. That's why a lot of people thought the policy was socialistic, because it would cause a massive the spate of inflation in America, because basically we would have like all of our branches of our international bank shut down, you know? So anyway, let's take a little, a break here. And on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and we'll be right back. It's Kelly here, and I've got a little clip for you to make my point. And this again is from 2 days ago. The economy has not grown in the last 7 years, and it is just pummeling the blue collar person, and it's hitting everybody hard. Check this out. This is an application of what we're talking about. Anyway, there's a couple of stories out. There's a story in New York that the food banks have run out of food. So it's a terrible situation. I would dependent on, more than anything else, a lack of a growing economy. If the economy, you have to have 3% growth to replace jobs that have been lost and to offer new jobs for new workers coming into the economy. And we have not had 3% growth for almost 10 years. It's incredible. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. We've got some great stories next hour. Be right back after a break on the hour. It's the 17th of June. In the last hour, we talked about the NBA championship, of course, going to Golden State. And we also talked about the weather in Texas and the incredible amount of rain that they've had in the last 3 weeks. In some places, 20 inches, believe it or not. All of the lakes in that strip, that populated strip between Houston and Dallas, and including San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth. Now, all those lakes are full. The rivers are full. And now it's just for water to run off and flood again. So, anyway, the Texas drought is over. Now, I was just mentioning something. Patty called up and was talking about, I think she mentioned something along hyperinflation. Well, something that made me think about that. The one prerequisite for hyperinflation is what they call fiat currency, but it's basically, you can either have your currency printing, we used to have the gold standard, and the gold standard went away in the 1970s, the early 1970s. The gold standard was a way to connect the currency of the nation to a value. That's after getting rid of coins that had, you know, gold or silver in them. All right, so we no longer have the gold standard. And since that time, there have been various levels of inflation. What they had when Carter was around was stagflation. Stagflation is a combination of a stagnant growth and higher inflation. It's devastating. Absolutely devastating situation to have, and it looks like we've got the seeds for that. We've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, I think you better send lawyers, guns, and money.
Are you moving to Cuba?
I think it's going to hit the fan.
Well,
hey,
I mean,
Kelly.
All of these people, including yourself, have been, I mean, people have been prophesying the collapse of the fiscal system in America for a long time, and it still seems to have some vitality. But there's a very famous saying by a semi-famous economist: if something can't go on forever, it won't. And that's the situation that we're in right now. You cannot print hyper amounts of currency and expect the economy to be unaffected over long terms.
Isn't that how the IMF works, though? I mean, they like to loan countries. Take Ukraine, for example. They're going to loan them money that they know they can't pay back, so then they can go in and foreclose on all their assets.
Well,
that's what they did to Greece.
Are you saying that's the reason the IMF was created, was to basically create a situation where they loan a large amount of money that can't be repaid and then go and steal their stuff?
It's the synagogue of Satan. That's how they operate.
All right, Mike. Everything is a
the Rothschild family. The Rothschild family.
Uh-huh. All right, Mike. You know, I think you lose a lot of people when you dive directly into your conspiracies.
Just my opinion.
Everybody has an opinion.
That's right.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, there is the conspiracy of the day from Mike. We should do a segment, conspiracy of the day. I'm not saying that I don't believe in conspiracies. I just don't think people are that organized to be able to pull a lot of this stuff off. I do think that there are a lot of horrible things going on out there that are caused when individuals who have the wrong idea of the world, the wrong standards or whatever, go out and decision make. And I would put the president in that group of people. I don't, what the president knows about the economy, I have no idea. He doesn't have any training in it. He was never a governor. He never led a business. He's not, therefore, put into an environment where he would have had to have paid attention to economics. The idea that he was going to come in and change everything didn't really happen. He took the things that the previous administration was doing and kind of ramped them up. So I really don't care about all that. What I do care about is that there is a long-term effect of printing a ton of currency that is not connected to anything. I mean, there's no connection. An economist from the classical school of economics, which is a very interesting and a very powerful intellectual movement in history, and you can tie that to David Ricardo and to the guy that wrote The Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith. Classical economics, it was an immoral thing to do to create more money than you could justify. So the government, by creating too much cash, is not only it's defrauding other countries, it's defrauding its own citizens. It's defrauding its own citizens through inflation that has to come and present itself as large amounts of cash are continually printed. It's defrauding other countries through the same way. So that's why these other countries, China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Brazil, are seeking other ways to trade worth, to trade value. You know, currency is just represents value. We had a $14 trillion economy for, say, the last 10 years. If you print currency that would be more representative of a $100 trillion economy, then you're defrauding everybody. So anyway, somehow inflation works, and I don't claim to know everything about how inflation works. I don't even think that the experts on inflation exactly know. All I know is that there is a connection between printing a ton of money and trying to pay for everything through your printing press. I mean, what if the government just went off of what they collected in tax revenue? Wouldn't that be an interesting idea? All right. There's something I want to point out to you, and this is this Obama trade thing, which I find very bizarre and unnerving. It's illegal to disclose the details of it. Here's from RT. I'm not a real fan of Alan Grayson, although he might be right on this point. But what do you think of when you hear that the elected officials that we have are not even allowed to have a copy of this Obama trade? What is in it that is so corrosive that people can't even know about it before the vote? And then, I mean, you know, here's the thing. There is, speaking of conspiracies that I've just told you that I don't believe in, there is something in the Bible, and it is called Babylon the Great. Now, Babylon the Great is not the city of Babylon. It merely represents the spirit of Babylon. And ancient Babylon was like, you know, this picture of Athens where they have the Acropolis. In the Acropolis, you have all these cult, these different buildings that have different deities in them. That's what it was in Babylon. They had this cult center there, and it was a center of paganism. And Babylon the Great in the New Testament is this idea of a couple of things. Number one is total opposition to God, but number two, a worldwide network or a worldwide some sort of an agreement. So that sounds like, I realize it sounds like a conspiracy. But it's not really a conspiracy like Mike likes to talk about, and maybe Patty or some of the other people that I would politely disagree with. It has to do with this idea that at the end of the age and the end times and stuff, there is a consistent move away from God. And then all of these different entities, the United Nations and the court system, and all so many different players around the globe are on their own and in some influenced by others, are coming up with this basically this humanistic kind of, you know, and it's what we're experiencing right now. It's this kind of the administration that's running things now. It's hyper-humanistic, and it's kind of spreading around the globe. And then the question is, where does this all head? I don't believe in conspiracies, but I do believe in movements and in the spirit of the age. The Germans have a word for it. I'm trying to remember it. Zeitgeist. The spirit of the age that we're living in is hyper humanism, and we're headed in that direction. And I am extremely nervous about this, because everything that we've ever seen about mass movements of humanism, say in China and Russia, has been a total disaster, not just economically, but in human rights. And I'm very nervous about where it's headed anyway. So speaking of promises, here's a little Naked Eyes for you. Kelly O'Connell, I got just the spokesman. I asked him, I begged him to come in and talk about the county, so we're going to shift gears. We'll be right back. 719, this is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. It's 723, and today it's going to be hot. Got Jess Williams here, and spokesman for the county, and he's just telling me all the stuff he'd like to talk about. And it is a real pile. Jess, what do you want to get into?
Well, we've got the final stages of the Planning and Zoning Commission hosting a series of public meetings to talk about and solicit public input, really, about the latest draft of the Viva Doñana Comprehensive Plan, as well as the Unified Development Code. These are great big in scope. The Comprehensive Plan is kind of huge, and the Unified Development Code, of course, is going to affect people going forward in terms of development throughout Doñana County. So we're really soliciting public input. We've seen some guest editorials in the paper recently about this. There will be a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in the commission chambers to talk about the Comprehensive Plan and the recommendation of the adoption to the Board of County Commissioners. Again, these are meetings by the Planning and Zoning Commission still at this point. Then coming up next Thursday at 9 a.m. in the commission chambers, we're going to have a work session and public input on the draft of the Unified Development Code. And we really hope that we get good public participation in that, because these are really the last stages where the public can come in, developers can come in and talk to us about what they like, what they don't like, what they want to see, what they don't want to see.
When and where?
All of these are going to be at 9 a.m. in the commission chambers of the Government Center, and they're the next three consecutive Thursdays. So June 18th is to talk about the Comprehensive Plan, and then on June 25th and July 9th, we're going to be talking about the Unified Development Code. So we're hoping we get a good crowd to these meetings. If you would rather put your comments in writing, you can send that to input@doñanacounty.org. And I'll make sure that it gets into the right
people. Does anybody care, Jess? Will anybody read it? Will it have any impact?
Yeah, it does.
Don't you think that we're living in a time when people have a lot of skepticism about government?
Yeah, and rightly so, I think, at all levels. But, you know, everybody, I think we've always had skepticism about government. And what I also believe is that the fact that we get public participation at such a high level for things of this scope means that people still want to have their voices heard.
Yeah.
And they want to come in and have their viewpoint mm-hmm. heard. I think it's really one of the things that I'm tickled about, and he's one of your frequent guests, is Commissioner Rawson.
Yeah.
Brings a whole different voice to the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah.
And so you get to hear a real balance of ideologies. And,
yeah.
And it's, you know, that's valuable for the debate going forward. It's valuable for the community.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of times that things are presented from a government level, and not only is this is the way it's going to be, but this is the only credible option. It's a lot of times are presented with information like that or decisions, and it's flies in the face of what people believe inside. You know, some people are conservative, some are liberal. people that are not adjusted to the ideas are taken aback and they feel disenfranchised, of course.
Well, I think that that's why we have, you know, since I've been with the county, we've had Paul Curry, we've had Kent Evans was a very dynamic commissioner on the Board of County Commissioners. So we've had lots and lots of good Republican leadership as well as Democratic leadership. And I've enjoyed, you know, I've been there almost 17 years. And hearing the back and forth, it has helped to shape my ideology.
Yeah, you got to have a two-party balance so that ideas can get, I guess as Nancy Pelosi said, ping-ponged back and forth.
Well, yeah.
That's before she parachutes into the inner sanctuary, I guess.
Well, I do think it makes for healthy debate, and I think that these three meetings are the, you know, kind of the wrap-up for the Planning and Zoning Commission phase of this thing, and I'm hopeful that we get some of that good back and forth, that ping-ponging that you talked about over the next three Thursdays to talk about the Comprehensive Plan and the Unified Development Code again. The next three Thursdays in a row, June 18th, June 25th, and July 9th. All those meetings are at 9 a.m. All in the commission.
All right, I got a bread and butter question here. Okay. Can people get a copy of what the agenda is before going to the meeting?
Absolutely. If you go to our website, www.donianacounty.org, there is a button near the top that I believe says the commission, and when you go to that button, then it has a link to go to the agendas, and there's different agendas on there. The PNZ is one of them. The Board of County Commissioners is another. So, yes, you can get the agendas from the website. Another thing I want to talk about while we're here, Kelly, is we've got this some pretty sophisticated people. I don't know how they do it, but you get a call on your cell phone, and it looks like the call is coming from the state police or the sheriff's department or the Las Cruces police. Sometimes even looks like it's coming from the IRS. It says this on your caller ID. And then you answer the phone, and, you know, people have a pretty healthy respect for law enforcement. And then this very convincing and stern person tells you that there's a warrant out for your arrest or you owe money to the IRS or what have you. And they tell you that if you don't make arrangements to pay immediately while they're on the phone with you, that someone will come and arrest you. Well, law enforcement doesn't work that way. Not even the IRS works that way. We have people calling into the sheriff's department every single week who are falling for this scam, giving out their personal information or making arrangements through PayPal or through other means to pay these people the money that they're demanding.
It's probably going to another country.
We don't know where it's going, but we're investigating the calls. It's very difficult to trace these.
Indian accent by any chance?
I don't know. I haven't received one of the calls.
And okay.
I haven't read the reports. But what I can tell you is that there are people falling victim to it. Particularly, we're finding elderly people falling victim to it. So if you know somebody, I would encourage your listeners, if there's anybody out there that you think would be vulnerable to this kind of call, please warn them that no matter how convincing these people sound and no matter what their caller ID says, it is not the way that law enforcement operates to ask you to make payment by phone. The courts don't do it. The cops don't do it. And the IRS doesn't do it. So
I could just ask
for it.
I could ask all my listeners to go down and take care of their warrants.
Yeah, you could do that.
And I have nothing to worry about.
Well, yeah, that would be a lovely way to take care of it.
That would help the coffers of the city. Yeah.
You know, I know that a lot of your listeners are keenly interested in the growth and the development down in southern Doñana County, and there's an opportunity available right now for people to really be on the ground with that. The Camino Real Regional Utility Authority is seeking applications for an open seat on the board of directors. Now, the way that the utility was set up, it has two members from the Sunland Park City Council, two members from the Doñana County Board of Commissioners, the senator and representative who represent that district, and then a person at large. And it's that position, the person at large, that we're looking for to sit on that board. They're doing a lot. They just got an $8 million grant to improve the infrastructure down there. This board is powerful. This board matters. And the shape of the development down there is going to have this board will have a great impact on that. So if you'd like to apply, we would be eager to get your application. We're accepting applications through 5 p.m. Tuesday, June 30th. To apply, you need to send a letter of interest, your current resume, and three letters of reference to the attention of Gilbert Mesa. He's the executive director of CRUA. And then the address for that is P.O. Box 429, Sunland Park, 88063. If you'd like more information, you can call Mr. Mesa at 589-1075. And if all of that went by too fast for you, visit our website at www.donianacounty.org, and you'll find the press release on the homepage so that you can get all the information about how to apply, the deadline, et cetera. We're really looking for quality applicants because of the important work.
All right, we're talking to Chess Williams, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to press him a little bit on some of the county stuff. He may or may not be able to speak about it, but I'll at least ask him, and some of the more unsavory elements going on. Here's a little 731, actually 732, break AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We'll be right back. All right, and so we got Jess Williams here, a spokesman for the county. And Jess, anything else that you really wanted to, burning desire to pass, pass on?
Yes, Kelly, we're entering the monsoon season. And we're urging people to, we're going to have all of our 16 volunteer fire districts set up with sandbags soon. We do allocate those. We only give out 10 per residence or business, and we encourage people to put those in doorways as we get these localized heavy rains. And we also advise people to go to our website. We've got a whole bunch of information about stormwater management on both public and private property. And we want to encourage people during these monsoon seasons, don't drive through running water. And don't let your kids play in ditches and arroyos. It's a really bad idea, especially during this time of year, because that water, it can be dry as a bone where you are. But if it rains 5 miles or up in the Oregons, that water is going to come downhill really fast, and it's going to go through those
channels.
Jess,
what we need here is a way to capture this free water, this free rain. Let's put in to Las Cruces, Dona Ana County, a capture system with cisterns to get all of our rainwater and hold it for these thirsty farmers.
God, I would love that. I think that would be a great project for an infrastructure project. It would be expensive.
Would Billy Garrett put $4 million into that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Billy Garrett about
Billy
that.
Billy Garrett, I know you're listening. Call in. We got a phone call here. It could be Billy Garrett. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ted. I just got something I want you all to think about.
Okay.
Over there in California, when it rains, a lot of the water goes down through arroyos and runs into the ocean.
Yeah.
Over here, it sinks into the ground. That doesn't evaporate, and that's not caught by various dams and everything. But the water recharges the aquifer. We already have a cistern.
Ooh. Native American answer, but what about making our own cisterns, and are you saying that we would be depleting the natural cistern?
Well, to a certain extent, just like the reason that they don't concrete line the Rio Grande. Have you ever thought about that? How much water that would go to the farmers if we could concrete line the Rio Grande?
Do you think we should?
Or every ditch.
Should we get, maybe that would be a good use of concrete, wouldn't it?
Well, it's already been thought of, and the at this time in prevailing conditions, you know, all the wiser heads than me have thought that it's not economically feasible. But you know, that's just another thing is concrete lining that all the ditches in the Rio Grande. But the current thinking is it's better to recharge the aquifer. But I just did want to point out the difference between California, where the excess water runs into the ocean, and our situation here.
Huh. Well, I don't know if I'm ready to give up on my idea. I feel emotionally attached.
Just something to think about. And, you know, I've seen it down in the Big Bend. There's a lot of people that catch. Now, they get about 23 inches a year as opposed to our 5.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of people down in Terlingua and Studi Butte and Lajitas that have rainwater catch systems. And they do very well if they're very, very conservative with the water.
Well, I appreciate
that
it.
Yeah.
Ted, I appreciate the call very much, and have a great day, folks. All right, so Jess.
Well, you know, what he was talking about is it's happening in Las Cruces. I've got a neighbor who is doing a major remodel of their home. And as part of that remodel, they installed an underground cistern to catch rainwater.
How big?
It's big. It's most of the front yard. It's an enormous containment system.
What if we did a tax incentive for that?
You know, I don't know whether tax incentives exist already for that. It certainly makes sense to do it. But I know of at least two of those systems in my own neighborhood. So I think that it is being done. I think that people, they see the dirt work happen. That's what happened in our neighborhood. We couldn't figure out why the entire yard was being dug up so deeply. And so we wondered whether there was a sewer problem, et cetera. And it turned out that was the way the water.
It wasn't a member of the Dahmer family, was it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not. I don't think they live in this part of the country.
All right. Okay. Speaking of grisly corpses and stuff, what's going on at the county? I mean, who's in and who's out?
Well, you know, we had the scandal over in the clerk's office. And so now the clerk and the chief deputy clerk, in fact, the lead story in today's papers, our chief deputy clerk has suspended his campaign for running for clerk. He wants to focus on the work that needs to be done to regain the public's trust in that office. To that effect, they're bringing in a 5-person blue ribbon team. John Hummer's on that team. I can't recall the names of the others, but really prominent people to come in and really take a look at all of the office's protocols in terms of protecting information. One of the challenges we face as a state, and this applies to all 33 counties, is that we're one of only 4 states that requires the full Social Security number to register to vote. If we would get rid of that statewide requirement, that would go a long way toward protecting people's private information. The Social Security number isn't used for any purpose. It's not even used as the main number to look up a voter.
Why do they do it?
You'd have to ask the Secretary of State's office. This is going to have to be a statewide fix by the legislature that to protect all 33 counties, not just Doñana County. But we've got to get, we're one of only 4 states that still does this.
And interesting.
We need to get rid of that system.
Okay. And
but given that we have this system, the Blue Ribbon Committee is going to come in and help our county clerk's office establish some best practices to make sure this kind of thing never happens again.
Right. Okay. So you can't get too far into the...
Well, you know, it's a personnel issue. All the people are gone. Nobody is on paid administrative leave at this point in the clerk's office. They're all gone. They've separated from county employment. And now we're working. We've got, of course, we're very busy in that office now because we're down 5 people. We're going to get those openings posted and try and get really good people back into those positions. And the clerk and the chief deputy and this Blue Ribbon Committee are working closely with the management team, operating with investigators to make sure, you know, that we haven't not uncovered something.
Is there more to be revealed to the public?
Not that I'm aware of at this time. Right now, the investigators, they haven't identified any further suspects or any further activity that I'm aware of.
Okay. Interesting. All right. And as we were saying, I was asking you about this, and you're saying, as far as you know, the money for the sheriff could be coming for the sheriff.
Well, the money for all of the 3/8, assuming the city isn't successful in its lawsuit that it's trying to join, the money for all those 3/8 will start coming in probably in September. And by next September, we should have the full coffers from 1 year of collection. At that point, then it can be included in the budget because we will have the money in the budget.
All right. So do you know if Billy Garrett wants to come on the show and explain how this all works out and how he's been mischaracterized?
I can't speak for the chairman, but he's a very open person. I think if you extended an invitation, I would be surprised if he turned you down.
I might do that.
Okay. If you'd like me to do it on your behalf, I'd be happy to do that.
If you don't mind, maybe a handful of flowers.
I think that county government is pretty transparent. You know, they've been sending me around for 15 years doing 7 radio shows a week, and I'm happy to be on yours this morning. We're trying to get the word out, and you know, when we've got our licks coming, we take them, and we take them fairly publicly. But it's an organization I'm proud of. The vast majority of the people there work hard every day in the public's interest.
All right. Well, Jess, I know you got to move on.
Yeah, I got to go to another show.
Show. Thanks for coming on.
You bet.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right, folks. Jess Williams there giving us a little bit of feedback. And Here's our dedication to the government. Promises. Kelly O'Connell, 744 AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. Thanks, man. We'll do it again. Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
I have some great ties, but this shirt is
number 15. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well. All right, so we've got this situation where they're trying to pass a bill, only this time it's from the president and the right, and so it's the same situation, only it's people on the right that are trying to say that we need to pass a bill so we can find out what is in it. And if you remember this, the fog of the does part of the fog of the controversy include the Constitution and representative government and support of the majority? Here is Nancy again. Health costs are skyrocketing right now, by the way. We've got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. Wondering if Nancy...
Mike, you could just say it's Mike, you know. It would be polite. But anyway, go ahead.
I just wonder if Nancy Pelosi could parachute over that great wall that Donald Trump was going to build between Mexico and the U.S.
I'd like to see her parachute in back into China over the Great Wall. Speaking of which, thanks a lot, man. All right. Okay. So anyway, we're at this very, very, you know, it's heartbreaking to see the government act as if we're in the middle. They act like we're in the middle of World War III and every secret has to be. You know, remember when Churchill said that the truth is so precious that it has to be guarded by a phalanx of lies? And it's heartbreaking to hear the government say again, but this time from the right side, you can't know what's in the bill that you're voting on. What's the premise? you're not smart enough. You're not sophisticated enough. The truth is too, is it like, you remember when they opened up like the, on the, what was the name of that show with Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones? They open up the box of the, that have the Ten Commandments in it, and those German guys melted. Is the truth so powerful and so wonderful it'll melt you if you read it? I mean, it is the worst feeling in the world to see the president and the GOP working together to keep information on laws away from the public until they get passed. Here we have again. I mean, that's just terrible to hear. And I mean, here is Nancy Pelosi assuming that she's smarter than the average American, which cannot possibly be a good bet on her part. All right. So this is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Got a little bit on Texas creating what could be their own state border guard. Their own, border patrol. It's very interesting. I'll come back and tell you about that. Be right back at 7:51. And just got a few minutes left here, but I wanted to introduce you to this idea. First of all, though, the idea of their own private border security in Texas, but the Bank of Greece is warning of an uncontrollable crisis. So it is melting down over there. In the meantime, the white woman who claims to be black has a sex tape out. And so what do you think of that? All right, here's Governor Abbott on the security force. Is this something all states should consider? Governor Abbott of Texas. Which is right be here in just a second. All right, so I don't hear the thing going out over the air, but to basically this $800 million, they're going to use it to buy $800 million passed by the border, by the Texas state for border control issues. They're going to get a $7.5 million high-altitude plane to scan the border, a new border crime data center, a 5,000-acre training facility for border law enforcement agencies, and grants for year-round helicopter flights. The state also wants to hire 24 Texas Rangers to investigate public corruption along the border and 250 new state troopers to put more boots on the border. Now, let me ask you this. The border security is traditionally the U.S. government's job. Is you think it's wrong for the state to, you know, have its own force down there? Is that in conflict in your mind? Should Texas have to accept whatever the federal government says no matter what? Now, this article says Google cartel crime in Mexico put in a time period of just last week, it says, and you'll see some dramatic instances of what the cartels are doing in Mexico, Abbott said. And the first obligation of government is to keep people safe. The 320-mile Rio Grande Valley sector of the border was ground zero last year for a wave, an incredible wave of Central American immigrants or migrants, mostly unaccompanied minors and women with children. What if, do you think we, New Mexico, should put in a border, should we have our own border security like Texas? We don't have the income that they do. $800 million would be a huge chunk of our $6 billion budget. But should we invest something into border security, or can we trust the federal government to do border security? And the fact of the matter is the federal government is doing everything it can to make sure that as many people as possible can come into America illegally and stay here. Now, why is that? There's various theories on it, but the most obvious reason is to radically change America, as the president promised in his campaign speech in the beginning. I think it would be a great idea to put some money into that and really try to help ourselves. Texas is showing that if you can't trust the government, you might as well do it yourself. And I will guarantee you that they're only going to gain from doing that. Now, that is Blog Talk Radio, where you can find this show in a rerun. You can also hear it live every day.